Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. Good morning, Washington, D.C. area. Good morning all across the nation. If you're listening to us on the internet or on my website, brucehallsports.com. We're starting off right off the get-go. A lot's happened in the last 48 hours. And in the Washington, D.C. area, no matter where you grew up, and I'm 61 years old. I have no problem telling everybody that because 61's the new 35. Right, Ricky? I've got Rick Snyder on the line. Rick Snyder, Ricky, tell everybody how they can find you on Twitter and I also want you to tell everybody a little bit about your tour business in Washington because you got the best thing going.
Well, if 61 is a new 35, you need to be
Russell.
Bruce. This is Russell.
Maybe 71. My bad. It's Russell Baxter. Hey, Russ, I'm sorry, buddy. I got Ricky on at 10:35. I'm getting old, and I've been up literally since about 5 o'clock this morning.
Wait a minute. How old are you if 61 is the new 35?
Well, I feel 36, 35, 36, and I look 50-ish. But technically speaking, I'm 61. I'm Roger Maris, partner, is what I am. Hey, you know what it is? I love having
yeah, without
what's that?
Way. Without the asterisk.
Exactly. Listen, let's get right to the NFL because today is a hell of a day. And talk to me about some of the things we're looking at today in the NFL. Like there's several games today that literally are going to determine if a team is out of the playoff race, in my opinion. Who are you looking at pretty closely today?
Well, there's a couple of themes here, Bruce. This is the stretch that when the schedule came out in April,
right.
This was the stretch that I was looking forward to in terms of the NFC West. Now, I didn't know I was looking forward to it in the way it's going, you know, maybe unfolded. But I think I probably mentioned on your show numerous times that the Seattle Seahawks were going to play 5 of their last 6 games within the division.
Right.
And that stretch starts today against the Arizona Cardinals, and then 4 days later on Thanksgiving night, the San Francisco 49ers. Then they have to play both of those teams again. One of them is a Sunday night game,
right,
unless it's flexed out, which I can't imagine that, at Arizona. And they close with the Rams. But, you know, the one caveat in that stretch, Bruce, is the fact that the non-divisional game for Seattle is road trip to Philadelphia. You know,
yeah.
Be it however the Eagles are playing, that's a long trip cross country. Meanwhile, Arizona played 4 of its final 6 games in the division. A rematch with the Rams, a rematch with the Niners, 2 with the Seahawks. I think they have Kansas City in there as well in Atlanta. So this is how the NFC West is going to be won. Now, the caveat is really, did anyone, I mean, listen, I know where people picked the Arizona Cardinals to make the playoffs, and deservedly so. Did anyone think we would be 6 weeks remaining in the season and the Arizona Cardinals would have a 3-game lead in the NFC West?
You know, I don't think so. Even I didn't because I literally picked Arizona to be in the playoffs as a wild card. I didn't have San Francisco going. I knew they were going to have some problems of their own, which they are having. But the thing that's amazed me about the way the Cardinals have done it is every single week, they seem to prove everybody wrong. And even this week, you know, I've got Seattle winning this game, but I don't have them covering the spread. I got to stay away from that because Arizona somehow will figure out a way to be in it with 5 minutes to go, and they end up winning the damn game. I've got Seattle winning today, but I do not have them, Russ, making the playoffs even with a win today. I have them 9-7 by the end of the year. I think that's going to be their final record, and that's not going to be good enough in the NFC. Not unless you're in the daggone NFC South. Then you'd be winning your division.
Well, that's the rub with the NFC South this year, Bruce. The NFC South is taking a playoff spot. Now, I have no problem with that. I know people are going to sit and yell and gripe and the whole thing that how can a 7-9 or a 6-10 team get in the playoffs? Guess what? That's the system. Get over it. It happened with Seattle a couple years ago. If you're better than the 6-10 team, I don't care if they're hosting the game. You go on the road and you win the game. Okay?
Yeah.
So I always kind of laugh. People use this.
Yeah.
As an excuse. Well, it just cracks me up. Okay? It's like, well, the Saints are going to come home. They'll just win all their home games. Really? Come on. I mean, the games are played by humans. Okay? The Saints are now in danger of losing their third straight home game in as many weeks after winning 11 in a row. You know why? Because they can't play defense. And if you can't play defense in this league, you're in trouble. And that's the thing that's hurt Seattle more than anything else, Bruce, is their inability to play consistent run defense. How's this for a number? In the games they won this year, and I'm going to round this off so you know I can save 2 seconds.
Sure.
In the games they won this year, the Seahawks have given up about 59 yards per game rushing.
Right.
In the games they've lost, they've given up 139 yards per game rushing.
You know what the Seahawks have become to me? You know, Russ, this year, they're almost a lock on the over because they're so beat up on the defensive side of the ball. They give up a lot of yardage no matter what. You know, imagine what this team would look like without Russell Wilson at quarterback right now. We got about go ahead.
Let's not ever forget what Marshawn Lynch does.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he was a beast the last couple of weeks. And this is an okay offensive line. It's better than it was last year because they've stayed healthy for the most part, though Max Unger is banged up right now.
Right.
So that's a little issue. But I go back to the decisions this team made in the beginning of the year. A lot of people pointed to our offensive line as the major problem. When they started letting loose defensive linemen, and then Clint McDonald signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they left themselves very thin in terms of depth. Now, listen, they have pass rushers, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill. You know, they can get after people, but what about the run defense?
And
then they lost a couple of Brandon Mebane, the defensive tackle up the middle. So you're already thin up the middle, and now you're even thinner. And the thing, listen, it's funny. They outrushed the Kansas City Chiefs last year. They were over 200 yards rushing.
No, absolutely.
And as we know, Kansas City, not a great run defense.
Nope.
But in the limited time that she had the ball last week, Jamaal Charles made them look silly.
Yes, he did. Listen, Russ, I can't thank you enough. I know you only got time for one segment with us today, and I love having you on. Tell everybody how they can follow you. There's a couple of, you know, obviously your profootballguru.com, but what are the other, the big, it seems like every week there's something new.
Yeah, you can not only find ProFootballGuru.com, where it usually is, but now there's ProFootballGuru on SportsBlog.com and TumblrBlog.com, and along with the Facebook page. And BacksFootballGuru is the Twitter handle, and I'm sneaking this one in. How about the irresistible force and the immovable object up in Foxborough today, Bruce? The Lions have given up 156 points in 10 games. The Pats have scored 243 in the last six.
This is my NFL Player of the Year. And I'll tell you who I'm taking just because you're you. I was going to save it for a later segment. The Pats are going to destroy the Lions today.
Well, this will be fun. This will be interesting. That's what I mean. It's the irresistible force and movable object game. The Lions haven't given up more than 24 points in any game this year. Could they actually give that up in a half, Bruce?
I'd love to see it anyway. Russ, thanks so much for coming on. Russell Baxter, the king, in my opinion, of the NFL. For the first
time,
see
thanks
you, buddy.
You and everybody you show.
All right, man. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hello. We're back, and here shortly. We're going to go over some NCAA scores. I've been watching a lot more college football as we get closer and closer to 2015, when we will have the first playoff situation to determine the number one team in the country in the history of the NCAA. And already, if you remember Roy and I
playoffs?
Going...
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs?
You know, I miss Jimmy Morris Sr. I wish to have... You know what? Maybe Snyder should hire him when Gruden...
You can't do any
You know what might end up happening with the Washington Redskins? And we're going to be talking about the Redskins, which everybody in the country now is talking about, stuff that unfortunately I have to hear every day. And it's all about dysfunctionality. It's all about being, you know, imagine you have 32 companies and they all sell the same product and they're all worth between $700 million and $2.5 billion apiece, right? And imagine that one of these companies has got some guy that's the CEO of it, and honest to God, you wouldn't let the guy run a McDonald's. It would be so hard for him to run a McDonald's. He could never even...
Or
about,
Johnny Rockets.
Well, no, yeah. Well, evidently he drove them into the ground along with seven. What was it? Five flags?
Yeah,
seven
whatever.
Flags or whatever the hell it is.
One of those flags.
I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. This is Second Opinion. I call it both. We've been on the air for a long time, and we really enjoy going out in Westchester County. And I'm working on getting Joe Panic. I'm going to do an interview with Joe Panic when I come up to New York, if he's still there. He may be in Arizona working out, or he may be in Florida, or he may be on vacation when I get up there. But and we're also still waiting to see if Pablo Sandoval signs. I actually went I was a caller on a show because I could tell that my buddy Grant Paulson needed somebody to call in on his show, Minors and Majors, on satellite radio. I want to say he's on from 8 to 10 o'clock every Sunday. And Grant Paulson is just an incredibly talented young guy. I mean, he's been on TV and been doing games since he was 10, 11 years old. He was on Letterman. He was on Carson. He was on all these shows. But he does a great job. We're not going to talk much about baseball today because Matthew told me that I need to let baseball go. I'm just a little too close.
As long
to
as you don't say exactly what I said about baseball, we'll be
well,
okay.
Yeah. Well, you're my soccer guy. And by the way, let's go through these scores from yesterday. We'll do top 20, and that way we can get close to what everybody's talking about. And by the way, the biggest score yesterday, I want to say it was 42-31 Army over
Fordham.
University, I almost said Hofstra. Jesus. And my point is that we have been sponsors, I think, of both of those teams at one time or another. I can remember giving away tickets, you know, when I was in New York on the air for Fordham games. And I know that we're sponsoring Army now. And I'll tell you what, Army, they looked good yesterday. They really did. They did a great job. I pull for Fordham, too. I pull for all of those teams that are within – you know, an hour or two of where our station is. I love Division III. Not that they're Division III, but I like Division I, AA, Division II, and III football because these are like really decent high school players.
So can we call it the WFAS bump?
We could do that.
All right. It's a thing now.
The WFAS bump. Anyway, Alabama beats Western Carolina yesterday, and I'd like to thank Alabama in Tuscaloosa for taking it easy on the catamounts of Western Carolina. WCU is in a little town right on the edge of Tennessee in the Great Smoky Mountains, and they actually are one of the few teams that kind of recruited my son, and I actually put a catcher up that played at WCU about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, that is, you know, like a coach now and, you know, has a regular job and the whole nine yards. But I'm very familiar with it's in Cullowhee, Cullowhee, North Carolina. And they were famous for a couple of things. Some of my friends in Greenville know what I'm talking about during the 70s, 60s, and 70s and 80s. But the biggest thing that I like is that Alabama took it easy on them. They only beat them 48-14. They actually let them score like 14 in the first 21 points. I thought that was nice of them. Number two, Oregon, with Heisman Trophy winner-to-be Marcus Mariota. win 44-10 over Colorado. You could say they took it easy on Colorado because they pulled their starters out, it looks like, in the fourth quarter. Nobody scored in the fourth quarter. And they cover a 33-point spread by 1 point. Oregon wins. Florida State beats Boston College in the last seconds of the game with a field goal by their guy. And a field goal was missed by Boston College with about 2.5-3 minutes left in the game that would have put them ahead 20-17. For those of you that aren't conspiracy theorists when it comes to football, because there are several ways you can cheat in football, and everybody that knows who I am knows I'm not a real big fan of the quarterback at Florida State for various reasons. What's his name? Jameis Winston. I even try to forget his name. But Jameis Winston, for as talented as he is, and you know, he's thrown, you know, he has managed to keep his team either tied or behind in games until the fourth quarter, pretty much the entire season. They're undefeated, okay? And they're in the hunt for the national title again. They won the national title last year. I don't buy this stuff. I think the guys, I just don't trust the kid. I don't trust who he hangs out with. I don't trust anything. But for them to beat Boston College by 3 points at home, that's ridiculous. And let me just explain to you about college sports. You know, there are a lot of backers and a lot of alumni and a lot of sponsors, you know, that live and breathe and live and die with college. With what's going on in college towns. These people probably do gamble a little bit. They probably, you know, they probably play their home team. What is this?
I always have to play this when you go on your...
My rant. But I just think Jameis Winston plays games with the spread. And that's just my, and I might be wrong, but I think he may just do it just for the effect of being the guy that wins the game at the end of the game. You know what I mean? Maybe he's trying to make it exciting. Maybe there is nothing, but if I'm an alumni and I'm taking Florida State minus 19 yesterday, and I see that game, and I played my alma mater, Florida State, if I went there, thinking they were going to crush Boston College because they're not really, you can't compare the two teams, in my opinion. I'm a little upset. Mississippi State, number 4, beats Vanderbilt 51-0. I was at Vanderbilt. My daughter lives in Nashville. I went there and met some of the people over there before the season started. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And they're not going anywhere anytime soon in football. Ohio State, just as bad. I'm not a big fan of their head coach. I just think that for them to beat Indiana, they were 32-point favorites, and they beat Indiana 42-27. They turn the ball over 3 times in the first half. They win, kind of going away at the end of the game. Indiana, you know, scored a late touchdown, but you know, they don't even cover a teaser. Ohio State, their head coach, I think Ohio State is destined to be out of the top 10 by the end of the season. I hope Michigan beats him, but that's never going to happen. Baylor beats Oklahoma State, who's just a punching bag. Mike Gundy, I'm 40. I'm a man. You know that guy? He loses by 21 at Baylor. Baylor's tough. They're still in the hunt. Arkansas is the hottest team in the NCAA. They beat Ole Miss 30-0. If you missed that, you didn't talk to me yesterday because that was one of my releases, Arkansas. They're tough, especially at home. UCLA beats USC. Somebody's going to probably lose their job. I love Jimmy Moore Jr. I love Jimmy Moore Sr. Jimmy Moore Jr. gets the win for UCLA. They were ranked number 9. They're going to move up, by the way. Georgia beats, gosh, I don't even know who they played. It was a Division II or III school or a Division I AA school.
Institute of Technology.
Northern Virginia Community College. They beat them 55-9. And my play of the day yesterday, besides Arkansas, was Michigan State. And Michigan State University, they are something else, in my opinion. They're in the hunt. but they're probably not going to get to the to the last four because they've got two losses. Kansas State wins, comes up big for me, 26-20 at West Virginia. Sorry, Roy. Oh, and by the way, Roy and Haley are expecting, and it could come any minute.
Roy's not expecting.
Well, no, but Haley's been. By the way, Roy Edwards is my co-host from time to time. He's not really my co-host anymore. He's a guest when he comes on. But Roy is he's expecting his second son, and that's kind of cool. It's actually not kind of cool. It's the coolest. And Haley's already been, and I know what this is like because I went through it. She's been to the doctor twice thinking she was in labor, and it's labor all right, but barely. And for all you ladies out there that go through childbirth, God bless every single one of you. I mean, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. It makes me feel bad. I start getting
makes you feel bad. Think of how she's going to feel.
You know what? I get physically ill when I start thinking about childbirth. Arizona State.
I'm sure they have a lot
spots
of sympathy for
Washington
you.
State, a bunch of points. They come back, win 52-31. I don't like Arizona State. I don't like their coach. Auburn wins 31-7 over Samford. Samford. Not Fred Samford. Sam Ford. And that was nice of them not to beat up on a pretty lousy team. They probably had to pay Samford $1 million to show up, at least $500,000. Arizona beats a good Utah squad in Utah, 42-10. Arizona's for real, but it's too late, I think, for them to make a move. Wisconsin, love watching this kid run the football at Wisconsin. He got over 200 yards again yesterday. He's got 2,109 yards already this year. Hello, I think they got three games left. He could break the all-time NCAA record. Missouri beats a tough, hanging Tennessee team, 29-21. That was on national TV last night. That was a good game. Oklahoma does what they're supposed to do to Kansas. Kansas actually, which is the alma mater of Bruce Bochy's son, Brett, they beat Kansas 44-7 yesterday. Oklahoma's starting to get warmed up. A lot of people think Stoops is headed somewhere else at the end of the season. Minnesota comes back, number 25 ranked Minnesota. They beat Nebraska 28-24, and thank God my prayers were answered. Louisville not only wins, covers the point spread, but they beat a coach I hate. Absolutely hate Notre Dame's coach. I wish he'd resign. I wish they'd fire him. I wish they'd do both. They win 31-28. We'll be back in a minute with a guest, actually. That'll be back on. Rick Snyder, who's with Washington Post Express, I think, will be back on. He's with so many people, Ricky Snyder, and he's also a big horse guy. But we're going to talk about the passing of Marion Barry, former mayor of Washington, D.C., and we're going to talk about the dysfunctional piece of crap team, the Washington Redskins, when we get back in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I've got Rick Snyder on the phone. Rick is a D.C. native, basically. Been around Washington area for some time. Great sports guy. Rick, you're still with Washington Post Express?
Correct.
And as far as I'm concerned, you're the go-to guy with anything that has anything to do with how I feel about it, the situation. Because well, with Rick, you know, if I'm feeling a certain way, all I got to do is kind of pull him up on Twitter or look on Facebook, and I can find out how he feels about something. Ricky, we're going to talk a little bit about, first of all, it's a sad day here in Washington, D.C., no matter how you feel about Marion Barry. He passed away last night. You were telling me a little bit about what happened. He evidently was in the hospital. I think he went in yesterday. Then he got out and went out to dinner. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I just know what I read in the paper this morning about this. That, you know, he had dinner out, called some people, went home, and died when he reached home. You know, and then I think he went into cardiac arrest, and then, you know, they took him to the hospital, but he was gone. So, you know, 78. Good long life. He was certainly one of the most memorable politicians here in town, in a town that has presidents. You know, he was sometimes bigger.
You know, the thing that I liked about Marion, and he goes way back. I mean, he goes back, and he was born in 36. So during the civil rights movements, you know, in the early 60s, he was, you know, he was a guy that was in his prime. He was in his late 20s, early 30s. He was on the D.C. council. I think the first thing he ever was he had a council position. And, you know, that was when he actually got involved. You know, when the Hanafi Muslims broke into the district building, and a lot of you almost have to be this had to be back in the early 70s, right? I mean, I can't even remember when it was. He ended up getting shot near the heart and almost died in that. And a lot of people did get killed, correct?
Well, yeah, he was actually at the Muslim Center, which isn't too far away. And he was shot in the chest there. One person did die at the City Hall. That was a WTOP reporter who was killed by the people who had taken over the building. I think Mayor Barry's first position was in 1961. He became a school board member. And if you see pictures way back, you'll see him with Dr. King. I mean, he was around. So, you know, he was always somebody that cared about people. And you're always, you know, wary of that with politicians. But, you know, Barry was about his people getting jobs, you know, economic development. You know, that was his big keys in his life because he knew without a job, it's awful hard to be anything in your life.
Yeah, so, I agree. And the one thing he fought for forever was D.C. getting, you know, their own electoral votes in the national election, something that still hasn't happened. And I really don't even understand that much. I don't understand why it hasn't happened, but, you know, unfortunately he passed away before that could ever come to fruition.
Well, Barry, D.C., for those that don't understand, it's a district, federal district. It is basically a territory. The citizens are American citizens. They can vote for president, but they do not have a voting member of Congress. So you're tax evasion without representation. The borders of D.C., we've actually had a statehood talk about it recently again. It would be the city of Washington and the state of New Columbia. Columbia being the feminine version of Columbus. So it's actually partly named after Christopher Columbus. You need 38 states to ratify a constitutional amendment. We have 32. We are not getting another six. And frankly, I don't think anybody in town cares.
Yeah, I think you couldn't be more correct with that. You know, D.C. is making kind of a comeback from a standpoint of real estate, and it really is a place to end up, you know, investing in real estate now. I mean, it's not that big a place. People that have never been to Washington really owe themselves. They really need to come there, and they need to rent a car. Not, you know, and they also need to tell everybody the name of your company that does the tours.
Well, I'm the tour guide, and it's CapitalPhotoHistoryTours.com. I take people around and do specialty tours more than anything. But you're right, it's not a very big city. It's only 67 square miles now. I think the Founding Fathers did not want us to be part of any state for fear that state would have more power. And I don't have a problem with that, quite frankly. And, you know, the real estate in this town has changed so much since 9/11 because a lot of New York companies relocated down for the commercial space, and Homeland Security was started, and our city has grown 20% in a little over 10 years. So they had to go back and reopen some areas that, frankly, had been tossed aside after the 68 riots burned them when Dr. King died. Now we're seeing those areas resurrected. We're getting a brand new waterfront area that I think it's a Chinese investor is doing. I mean, my grandchildren's Washington would be very different than mine, but then again, my grandfather's Washington was very different from mine. It's a city that is always changing, but the downtown core will always kind of remain the same because that's what Thomas Jefferson wanted, was a city of monuments.
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Rick Snyder, Washington Post Express, one of my favorite guys. Real quick, Rick, let's get into the Washington Redskins. You know, it's bad enough, and I say bad because I'm a part of it, but, you know, we sit here every day and we deal with the dysfunctionality of, if that's a word, I'm excited, the dysfunctionality of the Washington Redskin team with their owner, Daniel Snyder. There's no doubt in my mind that as long as this man owns the team, we're going nowhere fast. And that's just the way I feel about it. I don't think he can bring anybody in that can do it, that can do it, because I don't think at this point anybody wants to work for him. Tell everybody that's listening to the show what the big problem is, how it got started this time, the last two or three weeks with Robert Griffin III.
Well, Dan Snyder turned 50 today, so given a normal life expectancy, it's now Lenny and you. And you know, so, and he was a lot like George Preston Marshall, his predecessor, who owned the team for about 40 years. You know, Marshall never gave up control until near the end with his health. So I think Dan's still going to always pull the strings. He's been owner now 15 years. Hasn't really changed a lot, except he now has the background more. And he's learned the weak stuff more than be so obvious about it. The reports on Robert Griffin the last couple of weeks, yeah, it's really been the last week, because his first game back against Minnesota after he was hurt for 6 weeks was pretty good. And then last week against Tampa, he was just awful. The team was awful. And they lost to a really bad team.
Yeah.
And then the wheels have come off. You know, it's only one day a game. I don't think Robert's going to be the superhero that everybody thought he would be. His first rookie year in 2012, he won the league and rookie of the year. Last year was pretty mediocre, but he wasn't that healthy and had a coach problem. Now you got a coach that basically, I don't think, wants him, but you can't get rid of him easily. So, you know, they're kind of giving him a hard time. Well, let's see what he does. Let's see if he rises up and wins his position, because this is his best chance to succeed in the NFL. Very, very few quarterbacks have left their team in the last 20 years that were failed first-rounders and went on and did well elsewhere. Kerry Collins would be a guy who did decent, won a Super Bowl. But it's pretty rare, so you got to make it work here. You know, he's just, his footwork is bad, you know, things like that. But I still think he's a great guy. He's very smart. I think Gruden shares the burden some here. When your player's not looking fundamentally sound, that's your coach's fault, because why aren't you there pounding that into him, you know, at practice? You should not be out there doing bad footwork 3 years into the league.
No, so, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I think Gruden's got to watch. Both of them got to watch it. This is a watershed moment. If they fail in this moment, they're both gone by 2016.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I begin to wonder exactly, you know, what kind of coaching staff that we have there. Now, you know, I don't know if you remember, you're on Twitter. Ricky, give everybody your Twitter handle.
It's Snide_remarks.
You guys got it. You got to follow Rick. He's phenomenal. But listen, the one thing that I take from all of this Griffin stuff was he had a phenomenal rookie year. But it was an offense that you don't see in the NFL. It was basically almost a triple option offense with him either handing the ball off to Alfred Morris, or him faking the handoff, keeping the ball and going to the corner with his 4.3 speed, or him faking the handoff, dropping back, and no one was rushing because they didn't know what was going on. He was freezing linebackers. Kyle Shanahan, in my opinion, was so underrated on that team. And he was able to do that. Then, of course, the next year, you know, it was the injury to Robert. You know, the next year there were problems. There was a lot of sniping, a lot of this, a lot of that. And I thought him coming back too early was mostly his fault. Am I wrong in saying that? When I say his fault, I mean Robert Griffin III's.
Probably. I mean, you know, he's a young kid. He's eager to play, and that's why the coach, who's older, should be deciding these kind of things. I do think you're right about the linebackers, and I think that's the key to what's going on. The first year, the linebackers were frozen. They didn't know, but now they don't believe that he'll run, because they've been trying to make him a pocket passer. By unfreezing the linebackers, they're now able to drop back, because what was so great what he'd do is, in his rookie year, the linebackers would come up to him, and he'd throw over him for a counterpunch of a few yards. They would all work really well. He can't do that anymore. That was a big part of his game. So he's got to establish the run. I say they're so worried about him getting hurt too much, running around. I figure this guy isn't going to last 15 years. Go ahead and let him be what he's going to be.
You know, I agree. We're talking to Rick Snyder of Washington Post Express, talking about Robert Griffin III. Rick, when Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan went bye-bye and obviously took their money with them, Kyle didn't stay unemployed long. Mike doesn't need to work. He probably doesn't feel like working anytime soon. I think he's getting paid another year after this year, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 2 years, but I think it's just one more year. When Kyle left, was there any talk at all with the brain trust, and I use that word very loosely, of the Redskins in keeping Kyle?
No, I never.
Really?
You can include his last name. His last name is Shanahan. So if you're going to hate the old man, I have seen it around the league, but there are so many father and sons around the league. It would really amaze you.
Oh, I know.
I saw North Turner the other day. North Turner's son is the quarterback's coach now with him, and I'm like, wow, I remember when he was 12. But, you know, there's so many people who brought their kids in the league. I have seen people stay, but it's pretty rare. And usually not after that season. So I would have doubted that would have ever happened. Snyder wanted to work out the whole name from the legacy. So he could not be over in Cleveland now. The Browns are, looking decent with a couple suspect quarterbacks. Hoyer's been okay. So, I don't know Kyle is the bad part of it. It's kind of tough. You're given a job because you're your dad, and then you're denounced because you're your dad. And he's still your dad. So he knew he found no spot. And Mike, there's talk about Mike coming to take the Chicago Bears job. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm trying to think who the next coach would be coming in here in maybe another year or possibly for next year. And you know who I'd love to see get the job? Jimmy Mora Jr. I mean, because I would love to see him bring his dad back. Because you can say all you want about the Morris. They know the game pretty well. But we're running out of guys that Snyder can bring in and attempt to keep his season ticket base. His season ticket base finally, after 15 years, is starting to fizzle out. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. There is no waiting list anymore. It used to be this 200,000 name waiting list. I put my name on a list just for the heck of it about 10 years ago. And about 3 or 4 times a year, I get offers for up to 8 tickets.
No, that's true.
So it's, they've run through that on a Rolodex, The fans, I think, are close to the breaking point again. 5 years ago when Viserato was fired, Redskins Nation, there were half-empty stadiums. People were really angry. And they fired Vinny and brought in Shanahan and Bruce, and that changed things. But I think they're back to it again. I mean, people are really tough. It was a great year for me to come out with a new book, 100 Things the Redskins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. They do it on all the teams. Book sales have just plummeted. Thanks a lot. But people are just really angry, and they're not coming. The next game's against St. Louis in a couple weeks. They're not totally at home. And that'll be all opposing fans. They're already calling season ticket holders a couple weeks ago and said, hey, you want to renew? They've never done this. Usually they start January, February trying to get money. They're already bugging people because they're afraid of renewals.
No, I agree. And I was in the ticket business for over 30 years, Rick, and some of my best friends are still in the ticket business in the Washington area. They can take on as many tickets as they want on consignment every week with the Redskins. And obviously they get a hell of a deal. Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing a segment with us. I know you're going to be busy today with the death of Marion Barry and the possible near death of the Washington Redskins. Rick, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with my NFL picks on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Time to handicap some NFL games. If you're sitting at home, wherever you may be, if you're on the West Coast, I guess it's getting close to 8 o'clock in the morning. And you know what I love about the West Coast when I'm out there during football season?
That it's not the East Coast?
No, that it's football. That you got football literally starting at 10 a.m. in the morning for the NFL games. So by the time everything is over, at the very latest, you still got time to go out. It's like 7, 8 o'clock.
I'm
on
like
West Coast.
That. I like
Oh, you're well, you're a moron.
I fall asleep to the games. I like starting.
Yeah, but the idea is not to fall asleep during the game.
No, the ideal situation is the London game at 9 a.m., going to, well, see, all the way through the day.
I don't want to see a lousy London team play anyway. I don't want to see a lousy London team play anyway. I mean, the ushers will probably be these Muslim guys with machetes. Oh, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about that. We're going to go
happy
over
Sunday, guys.
Happy Sunday. Want to say once again, rest in peace, Marion Barry. We complained about him a lot. You know, he had his run ins. He was a very famous tape. In 1990 of him in a hotel room being busted by the FBI and the DC police force, which honestly, you know, for a long time, it was almost like they were trying to get him out of there. And obviously they were, but you know, what's funny, he never went anywhere. He stayed, he put up with the crap, you know, and he tried to make, his town better.
And he was a trailblazer for other mayors, especially in Toronto.
He was a trailblazer. He's had, you know, I've seen his picture with Dr. King many, many times. Those guys, those original, you know, guys that went through civil rights movement, Andrew Young, all those guys. I mean, they, you know, you can say what you want about those guys, and you can feel however you want about those guys. And if you're still a racist, then to hell with you. You know, I went to Wakefield High School in Arlington, Virginia. We were South Arlington. We called it L.A., Lower Arlington. And, you know, we had probably one of the largest low-income areas in all of Northern Virginia was Green Valley. Well, I was best friends with a bunch of kids that lived in the Valley. So in the 60s, I was like, you know, I had a lot of friends who were black kids, African-American kids, whatever you want to call them. And they were great because we met. I mean, it was really good for a kid at that time to actually befriend kids that didn't grow up in the same neighborhood they did, if that makes any sense to you. I wrestled with kids that were phenomenal wrestlers that were African-American. I played, you know, I didn't play football. I played soccer. So, yeah, no, we didn't have any African-American kids playing soccer. We had one kid from Turkey. That was it. And everybody else was, you know, the kids that couldn't make the football team, pretty much. I was only 13 when I actually was in the 10th grade. Sadly, anyway, let me get off that and get on the NFL because I'm becoming Tangent Tom. But you see what I'm getting at. Life is too short to miss anything. And by the way, it doesn't matter. I'm reading a great book, by the way. One of our special guests on a regular basis, Meet the Press's Chuck Todd, has written a book. It's called The Stranger in the White House, and it's all about Barack Obama. I've read 5 chapters. It's phenomenal. And I got to tell you, it's good for me to read because it will absolutely positively at least explain everything about what's going on. And already it has. It's called The Stranger in the White House. It came out November 14th. You can pick it up at any major bookstore. It'd be a great gift for Christmas. Chuck Todd, who is on our show picking games on a pretty regular basis. Couldn't do it today because he's got carpool duty or something at church. anyway, let's go over the first game. Buccaneers are at the Bears. Hit that.
I
love that. You hit it first, then we'll go. See, this is the one thing we miss Roy for. The Buccaneers are 2-8. They beat the Redskins last week. We were talking about that with Rick Snyder. 27-7. They may have the hottest receiver in the NFL right now, Mike Evans, who actually was Johnny Manziel's big guy. You know, at Texas A&M, he's a rookie. He's about all the Bucs have. They really don't have much of a running game. They can rush the passer. I think they got 6 sacks against Robert Griffin III, which may or may not tell you anything about the Bears. Oh, yes, it will. The Bears can't protect their quarterback either, Jay Cutler. You know what I took in this game, and I'm sticking by it? The over-under is 46 points. Take the over. It's raining in Chicago. It's a little windy, but I'm telling you right now, McCown is the quarterback for Tampa Bay. He was the quarterback for the Bears last year when Cutler went down, and he did a better job than Cutler did. Take the over in this game. Next game, Matt. The Browns and the Falcons. You know, the Falcons are trying desperately to make the playoffs. They're in first place in the NFC South with a 4-6 record. Let me repeat that. They're in first place with a 4-6 record. The Cleveland Browns are struggling all of a sudden, even though they've looked better than they've looked in years. They're 6-4. The Falcons are a 3-point favorite. The total is 47.5. If you held a gun to my head, I would say take the Falcons because they're just a little bit more chipper. They're at home, which is where Matthew Ryan wins, you know, 90% of his games that are played. I don't see the Browns beating the Falcons, but I don't feel confident enough in the Falcon defense, seriously, to give the points. So I'm passing on the game. We'll be back in a minute with more of News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm going to find out where Denny Green is because I want him on my show soon. I want him on the show before the end of the regular season. And I will do that. I am the detective in me. We'll find that. And by the way,
try and find him in an IHOP in any southern state, basically.
By the way, get out there and see Foxcatcher movie about Mark Schultz and Dave Schultz. Two brothers. Dave Schultz was murdered by DuPont, this billionaire, but just out of his mind guy. Because it's the way it works for Team USA. Sometimes you need to find investors and people that are willing to train a team over a period of years that are going to be competitive in the Olympics. And you know, these guys can't work regular jobs. And be as good as they want to be, so they need sponsors and so forth. But it's supposed to be a great movie, and as a former wrestling coach, I can't wait to get out and see it. Unfortunately, right now in D.C. area, it's only at like 3 or 4 movie theaters.
You can just go across the street after
Well,
the show.
I know, but this is Columbia, Maryland. I mean, I'm not doing anything this afternoon. It's football time. Let's go to the next game. Got the Titans at the Eagles. Now, the Eagles have got Mark Sanchez at quarterback. For you people in New York, you know everything there is to know about Mark Sanchez. But the one thing that I've seen with Mark, you know, with his new head coach and offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, is that he's a lot more comfortable in that offense than he was in New York, at least towards the end of his career in New York. The Eagles have won 9 in a row at home. I don't see this changing because the Titans are 2-8. And let me say this, and I'm going to say it slowly so you understand how much I like the Eagles today. The Titans, the Washington Redskins, beat the Titans. Okay? That's all I have to say. And they didn't even play a good game when they beat the Titans. The Eagles are 11-point favorites. There's a lot of things you can do with an 11-point line for you guys that like exotic as opposed to erotic plays. You know, you can tease them down to 1 point with three teams. A lot of people like the over here. I don't. I like the Eagles straight up -11. I think that's a great play today for 3 stars. I think it's a solid play. They're at home. They've won 9 in a row there. And they're figuring out how to get it done. The Eagles are going to be in the playoffs at the very least as a wild card team. I'm not sure if they're going to beat Dallas coming out of that. I think they could, but I think the Cowboys could, you know, nudge them out by a game too. But take the Eagles. You know, even though they melted down in Green Bay and didn't do a very good job up there, nobody's doing a good job at Lambeau Field with a team up there playing the way they are. But take the Eagles. Next game. This is the game of the day. This is the Detroit Lions, 7-3. We had Dan Miller on last week, the voice of the Lions. Great, great guy. You know, this is a team that's doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm looking at this team, and I see George Allen in the 70s. When he was with Washington, he picked Billy Kilmer to run his offense instead of Sonny Jurgensen because he didn't want to turn the ball over. He wanted to just hand the ball off and eat up clock and, you know, keep the other team's defense on the field as long as possible because he had a good defense. He brought everybody from Los Angeles Rams with him when he came to Washington, and he already had a couple of great guys here. You know, Kenny Houston, Chris Hamburger. I think that this Lions team is very similar to that. But the Patriots are on a roll. They just picked up running back who walked off the field at before the end of the game. The kid,
LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, he's. Did you pick him up on your fantasy team?
A lot of people
have had LeGarrette Blount, and what happened, if you remember what happened in the preseason, he and that star running back of theirs, so good, got busted smoking dope driving down the road. And, you could see the Steelers pretty much blamed it, most of that on LeGarrette Blount because he was the veteran.
Because of his name.
Well, it was because he was the veteran, and he was like taking a rookie out and smoking dope with him in a car.
His name is Blount. What do you think?
Oh, that's very funny.
Thank you.
That's too bad, LeGarrette Blount. Well, I call him
Blount. Thank you.
If we had a live audience, you might have gotten one or two laughs there.
That's all I can ask
But I got to tell you, the Lions, Matthew Stafford is showing great patience because he's not out there. And he has brought that team back a couple of occasions already. He's doing a great job. I really like what Caldwell's doing up there. What he's doing is he's teaching the Lions how to win. Now, they're going to make the playoffs. I like the Lions. But they're not going to win this game. And I'm going to tell it's not even going to be a close game. This is my play of the year. I'm taking the Patriots minus the Lions here for like 10 stars. I love the Patriots here. The total's 48. It's going to be a little messy up in Foxborough, a little chilly, a little windy. This is not indoor football weather. You got to like Tom Brady. You got to like their running game that all of a sudden they're doing very well. The one thing that happens in New England during the football season is they actually get coached. Redskin coaches, take note. They actually coach up their players. Belichick, yeah, he's a cheater, and yeah, you can't trust him, and yeah, he's Bill Belichick. But he's a hell of a coach, and he's got a great coaching staff too. And if they're cheating still, and the league is letting them cheat, you know, I'm getting to the point where more power to them. Okay?
That's football.
Because this league sucks. They pay a commissioner, you know, a percentage plus a base salary, and he's making like $50 million a year, possibly this year. And he's scum, in my opinion. He's terrible. He's horrible. He doesn't have a clue.
But he's winning, so good for him.
Yeah, so everybody's making money, and they're seeing that, they're seeing that their franchises go up in value.
Yeah.
Look, Dan Snyder, you're like maybe the only franchise. Well, let me think.
Maybe Dan Snyder is the only.
I would say the Redskins franchise is the only franchise right now. It's losing value every week because of how bad your team is performing and how you are losing money because you're losing season ticket holders.
See, maybe Dan Snyder is a good guy.
He's not a good guy.
He's the only NFL owner that won't allow his team to
maybe
cheat.
Maybe you're a good guy, and I know better than that.
And that's a very far-fetched
By
idea.
The way, the Patriots have won 14 straight in Foxborough, which tells you what? They're going to win this one, too. Take them for 10 stars next play. And by the way, don't take the over because of the weather and because of the both defenses playing really well. Might not be a real high-scoring game, but the Pats are going to win by 7. I know that, minimum. Packers-Vikings. This is a tough game to play because the Packers have scored 50 points or more in a row, two games in a row.
It's the other NFC North Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. The Vikings are at home. I love Mike Zimmer. Fran Tarkenton I follow on Twitter.
Is he still alive?
Fran Tarkenton looks like he's about 40 years old. He's a great businessman. He's a great guy. And he held all the passing records in the NFL for many, many years until Brett Favre came along and guys like that. Because, hey, listen, when Fran Tarkenton was a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, you could actually hit the receiver if you were playing defense on him. You could put him on the ground. You could pick him up and throw him on his face. You could grab a hold of him if you want to. There's a million things you could do.
Back in his day, you could actually touch the quarterback, too.
Absolutely, and which is why he was a great scrambler, because he wasn't a big guy. And Fran Tarkenton took a few licks, but not many. Not many. I love Fran Tarkenton. He says the Vikings are getting better every week. I believe him. I'm looking at it. I think Green Bay wins the game. I don't know that they cover a 9-point spread, but I'm going to pass on the game. And the only reason I'm passing on the game is because Green Bay's got to take their foot off the pedal sooner or later. And I hope Jordy Nelson catches like 3 touchdown passes because he's on my team. I'm playing Roy Edwards, by the way. Does anybody know who he is? Anyway, I'm playing Roy today, and I got to win. I think I'm favored by 2 points or something like that. And we're, by the way, we're going to open the phones up next segment for fantasy football questions. If I just need you to do a quick. Matt and I have agreed to do this for a segment or two because fantasy football right now, we only got 2 weeks left. Then we got the playoffs.
It's
playoffs.
This week and next week, and then that's the playoffs.
Then we got the playoffs, and I have to win both weeks to be in the playoffs.
Yep. I would be currently in second place, by the way.
Would you like me to read this now?
Yeah.
For the first time in generations. You know, and generations are like, you know what that are? Those are. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And I'm a big, big, big fan of realtors because I am one. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with more on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hello. We're back. Bill Armstrong is going to call in next segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about the NAR, the National Association of Realtors. They just had their convention in New Orleans. He was down there. I love New Orleans. It's such a great place to go for 3 or 4 days because the food is phenomenal. They have a casino or two there, which, you know, I don't know if you could tell this about me, but I like casinos. And Bill is one of my best friends. Bill is also was the treasurer of the National Association of Realtors for, I want to say, 4 years. And he's no longer currently the head, but he's still one of their top guys. And looking forward to having Bill on at 11:30 to talk about the National Association of Realtors and all they do in the real estate business for all of us. Let's try to sneak all these in. It'll leave us at the end. We'll go back over everything. Jaguars are at the Colts. You know, what are you laughing at?
Because that's how you have to deal with that game.
Well, the Colts are 13.5-point favorite right now. It's bouncing up and down from 14 to 13.5. The Colts just got totally embarrassed by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They lost by almost 30 points. It was an embarrassing game. They did look like crap. A rookie running back had 4 touchdowns. And unfortunately, if you pick that guy up in a big hurry to play this week,
LeGarrette
Blount is going to get the ball in goal line now, not that kid.
That's a good point. But well, yeah, I didn't touch him because I knew that they have a guy with a hot hand.
Exactly. So, okay. And I got to tell you, you got to take him today. First of all, the Colts are minus 13.5. I'm leaving the game alone.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a good teaser because they'll get it. I think the Colts will win by 10. 13.5, 14, you get backdoored so easily, and the Jaguars will leave Blake Bortles in until the end of the game. If Andrew Luck is up 41-10 going in the fourth quarter, guess what? They're bringing in another quarterback because they need to keep him healthy. And by the way, nobody in the NFL gets more quarterback hits on them than Andrew Luck. This kid, it's a good thing he's 6'5", 250 pounds, because he gets hit every play just about. I love that kid, though. He's great. Let's go to the next one. I'm passing on that game. The Bengals are at the Texans. Boy, does this game suck. And the only reason I say that is I can't stand what's happening with the Bengals. Although they came back strong last week, Andy Dalton went, are you ready for this? He went from a 0.2 or a 2.0, which is the worst quarterback rating in the history of the NFL. The next week, last week, they cover in New Orleans. They win outright by 17. Guess what his quarterback rating is? 138 or something. That's never, ever happened either. He either forgot to take his medication in the morning or they just didn't do a good job of coaching the game plan for him. I'm going to pass on this game. I don't like it. The Texans need to win. The Bengals need to win. So I'm just leaving it alone. The Texans are a two-point favorite. I'd pass on it. You know, and a lot of people have the Bengals winning here. I don't like it at all. Let's go to the next game. You know, when a game makes you sick to look at it to your stomach, you got to leave it alone, people. And by the way, if you're handicapping out there, you don't have to love every game. Every game's not a game to love. This game, the Cardinals and the Seahawks, is a perfect example. The Seahawks have struggled all year. They're 6-4. The Cardinals are the best team in the league. All those guys that have got New England rated number one now, no. The Cardinals are the team. If the Cardinals had New England at home, they'd beat them. They would beat them because they would physically take care of them. Now, maybe in 3 weeks that doesn't happen, but right now it would. The Cardinals are the only team that beat Seattle in their run to the Super Bowl last year at home. Hmm. They're the only team that won up there. They don't have a problem with noise. They don't have a problem with bad weather. They're just the toughest defense in the league. However, the Seahawks have to win the game. When this game was 6, I kind of was leaning to the Seahawks. It's now 7, 7.5. I'm passing on the game. But even in the rain and the wind, you know what I'm taking today? I'm taking the over. Because the Cardinals will score. If they're going to stay close to the Seahawks, they're going to have to score at least 20 points. You know what the total is? It's 40.5. Take the over in this game. That means 23-20, you're a winner. And there's going to be at least 23 points scored by the winning. You're going to get a lot of Marshawn Lynch. The Cardinals are. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals don't. My guy Baldwin's like their top receiver. They don't have any receivers. Golden Tate's gone. They got rid of Goofball, you know, the kid from Virginia.
Percy Harvin's
gone. Goofball. Everybody knows me, knows who I'm talking about.
You have a lot of goofballs in this league, though.
Goofball is a term of endearment for me. I call my favorite kids goofballs. Next game. And my kids will verify that, by the way. I've never had anybody get mad when I call them a goofball. The Rams are at the Chargers. Chargers are sucking pretty bad lately. The Rams are the hottest team in the NFL. Let me repeat that. They're the hottest team in the NFL right now. The Rams are not only going to cover a 6-point spread today, or 5.5, depending on where you're getting it at, in Vegas, parentheses. I like the Rams winning this game outright. I like the money line on this. Take the Rams. They're going to beat the Chargers today in San Diego. And by the way, there is something to Phillip Rivers being injured. I was watching him throw today on Playbook, you know, the show that's on like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on mm-hmm. ESPN. It's a great show. It's got Ron Jaworski on it. He does look like something's wrong with him. And it's not, you know, it's his shoulder. It's his kind of between his chest and his shoulder. You can tell he's hurt. He takes a lot of shots. Go to the next game. And don't forget to take the Rams. The Dolphins are at the Broncos. The Dolphins are going one direction, the Broncos are going another. And I'll tell you another thing I noticed looking at a lot of film this week. I love Peyton Manning, but they've lost 2 out of their last 3 games. And guess what? There's injuries, and one of them might be Peyton Manning. To me, he looks like he's got no zip on his ball anymore. He looks like he really doesn't like throwing, you know, outside the hash marks. And I think that this game with this Dolphin defense could give him some trouble. And they're going to come hard. I mean, they're going to come hard and they're going to come often. I'm not going to play the game, but I'm going to watch it. It's going to be a great game to watch. Pass on the game. Next game, Matthew. Cowboys are at the Giants. Yeehaw! For all you Giant fans up there, it would make me nobody happier than me for y'all to knock the Cowboys off. However, don't see it happening. Cowboys have had they had a week off. Not only do they have a week off, they're a pretty good football team. Tony Romo got to rest. Their running back DeMarco Murray got to rest, and their big boy Dez Bryant got to rest. They got too many tools. Jason Witten, Dez. You know, they got the kid that played with Robert Griffin at Baylor. I forget his name, but he's one of their top receivers. He gets started every week in fantasy.
They have been surprising because everybody was calling them possibly the worst team in the NFL at the beginning of the season.
Well, that was because of their defense, but their defense has come up stellar. And by the way, the offense is keeping the other opposing defenses off the field. Take the Cowboys minus the 4 for 3 stars. I think they win by 7 to 10 points. I really, the Giants just don't have a home field advantage ever at the Meadowlands anymore. They just don't. I mean, I don't. I've been to 3 games there in the last 3 years. They've lost all 3 of their games. Every game I go to, they get beat there. Go to the next game. Take the Cowboys. And you know what else is good there? By the way, for a hedge, hello, over 47. Take that too. Oh, even in the rain, they're going to score. Hey, Eli, if Eli gets hot, the over's a lock. But Eli's got to have guys catch the ball to get hot, right?
In the rain, I also have their running back. So
what's his name? The kid from Jacksonville. He used to be in Jacksonville. Oh, come on, man.
His numbers have jumped from about 14 to 17 projected.
He's good. He's good.
Thanks for the rain.
Rashad Jennings, dude.
That's the one.
And I didn't look and find that. It's just my brain takes that long to find it. Next game.
I already did.
Do it again.
Boo-la-la-la.
Jets at the Bills. Okay, let's talk about this game for a second.
Let's not.
Listen, I sent a tweet to at NFL Commish, that's Roger Goodell, on Friday or Thursday, because they didn't have a plan yet on where they were going to play this game and what they were going to do with it. They just assumed Buffalo would get everybody to the game and shovel out that stadium with 7 feet of snow.
They were trying to get people $10 an hour.
It doesn't matter what they
themselves
tried to do, Matt. It was stupid. This is what I'm trying to say. As a former wrestling coach and a current baseball coach, I know that I need a plan B when I got 7 feet of snow on the ground. It has nothing to do with anything except you're not allowed to go outside. So, A, we got a note. Can we get guys to the airport to fly out? Evidently, the airport didn't have that much snow in Buffalo because downtown Buffalo got 3 or 4 inches of snow. The lake effect south of Buffalo is where they got the 5, 6, 7 feet. So, but here's the problem. That's where everybody lives because it's nice there. Plus, the stadium is south of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So, the stadium got this. Did you see the pictures, by the way, of the people on their roofs trying to get the snow-drifted roof? There was roof snow 12 feet high.
Yeah, they were worried about cave-ins.
Well, how about an avalanche on your own roof? I mean, you could literally be shoveling snow on your roof and an avalanche comes on top of you and throws you off the front and you're under, 3 or 4 feet of snow? Not only are you unconscious, you're kind of cold, too. So, I mean, listen, people have died up there. People have died up there. Matt's trying to talk me down.
Yeah.
Right now when I got crazy, it's because I felt myself on the roof of the house. And by the way, that's not a bad idea because you don't want 12 feet of snow on your roof.
That was the biggest concern besides getting the stadium out.
Yeah, it's really bad. But we were talking about the wide receiver, number 15 for the Buffalo Bills. I can't think of his name. Chris is his first name.
I don't know.
He was like neighbors. Actually, a good friend of mine worked with his father for years, and their kids grew up together. And he started out as a lacrosse player for 3 years, and he ended up going back to college for one more year to get his master's degree, and he played football, and he signed as a free agent. He was in Miami. Now he's with the Bills. He's a phenomenal receiver. He walked to meet the bus. They were sending guys in snowmobiles to pick up the Buffalo Bills and take them to the side of the roads that had been, you know, for emergency vehicles, and that's how they got them to the airplane at the airport. It was unbelievable.
Also, did you see the video Jim Kelly put up of Bill's players
shoveling him out? Oh, absolutely.
And Jim Kelly's been having a lot of problems with cancer lately, so I thought that was kind of a good feel-good story.
You know, I love Jimmy Kelly. I met him and his brother at the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and Jimmy was so – you know, he had a concussion almost that entire game. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, he was drinking pretty heavily, but so was Danny, his brother. I like Danny Kelly a lot. He's a real nice guy. I think there's like three or four brothers in that family. But Jimmy was so nice, and it was a bad defeat. It wasn't like they were in the game. I mean, it was
which
like
one?
The Redskins. It was like the varsity against the Chiefs. No, they were in the other games now, except for the one in the Rose Bowl with the Cowboys. That's the Leon Lett game where Leon Lett dropped the ball. Remember Don Beebe knocked the ball out of his hands like on his way into the end zone? It was funny as hell, to be honest with you. When we get back, we're going to have Bill Armstrong of the National Association of Realtors on with us. Billy's still extremely involved with NAR, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what the National Association of Realtors does for all of us, and I'm looking forward to that. We haven't had Bill on in a couple of months. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy. Big sports fan. We'll be back in a minute with more of News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We have on the line not only a good friend of mine, but a very important guy when it comes to real estate sales in this country and representation all over the world, Bill Armstrong. Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Bruce. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know me. As long as there's football on TV and there's a couple of televisions close to me and we're not under 7 feet of snow. God, can you believe that? Yeah. Speaking of homeowners' problems, how about all the people up there that have to worry about their roofs caving in?
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. And now they're calling for flooding and rain.
Yeah, the rain probably won't hurt as bad as you would think because they do need some of the weight off the roof, so they could probably use. But if it stays 25, 30 or below for the next 3 or 4 weeks, that's a lot of weight on the roofs of those houses. I don't know if they were designed that most of them that way to be able to handle that. You know.
Well, this is definitely a test for their systems. They've got a design up there with more snow load than many parts of the country, but this is going to definitely test some of those roofs.
See, you know, I would have not even thought about that, but, you know, you would think that that's true because where you do get more snow, you probably need more support on your roof for sure.
Well, they've got, you know, greater pitch in many cases so that it's easier to shed the snow. But there are still some flat roof systems out there in commercial properties that are going to be absolutely tested. The problem is since we're talking about roofs, the problem is that once it starts to melt and go out, if it gets cold overnight, it freezes up some of those drains, and then it starts building up. You get a swimming pool up on top of those roofs. I've encountered that in some buildings of my own. So you have to make sure things are clear and they can run away.
You know, I would think that some of those old military stores, you know, where we always used to go as kids and buy all the stuff, the surplus stores, those the flamethrowers are probably going to be a very, very highly sought after piece
some
of equipment
those,
to have.
Those jet engines they have on NFL sidelines.
Hey, listen, Bill, you know, it's I love having you on. Tell everybody what the NAR is, who basically is, you know, for the most part are members of the NAR, and what it is the NAR does to protect homeowners.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the opportunity to do just that. We are the largest professional trade association in the United States, and that would suggest also the world. We have in excess of 1 million members, and that includes residential, commercial, property management, appraisal. I don't want to leave anybody out. There are all sorts of members. There are people
virtual tour operators.
Yeah, Matt's a virtual tour operator.
Had to bring that up.
All of the above.
Yep.
All of the above. And then we are actually a great advocate for property rights, homeownership issues that otherwise, you know, homeowners and property owners really aren't engaged we do this, and it's not just for our purposes as members of the National Association of Realtors. We defend property rights because we're also property owners, whether they're commercial, industrial, residential, doesn't matter. If somebody's going after our right to own property freely and exchange property freely, or trying to use it as a vehicle to raise money for things that they want to spend money on, we have to keep an eye on that. And the consumer, just the general run-of-the-mill property owner out there on the street, can absolutely watch themselves be taken advantage of if somebody weren't looking out for them. So, in my opinion, we're a very strong consumer advocate for property rights.
Now, your members come from professionals in the business, either agents or brokers, correct?
Yes, yes.
Now, and there are obviously other people that do that. Appraisers are members, correct?
Well, yeah, appraisers are members, but we also have lots of affiliate members, you know, folks who are lenders, folks who are property inspectors, title companies. You know, we've got a lot of people that have a vested interest. And because we're the largest trade association out there, we also really reach out and have people everywhere that are interested in what we do. So, you know, there are limitations on what you can give to a candidate, a political candidate, in any given election cycle. But more important than that amount of money, because, you know, you can only give so much, and I would like to believe that most of these people aren't that easily bought. But what we do have is mass. We've got a great number of our people, and we're people from all walks of life. They're entrenched. We've got politicians. As a matter of fact, Speaker John Boehner's wife is a realtor. We've got people we had disputes with some of the people in the banking industry, which, thank goodness, they didn't get their way and get into real estate. They wanted to practice real estate, too. So that was before that banking debacle, and we have outlawed that, gotten that outlawed, but it was a 10-year process. So you don't see instant gratification. But we're everywhere. There are, in the Washington, D.C. market where I live, there are over 4,000 members in Montgomery County alone. In Maryland, there are 25,000 members. In Virginia, there are 37,000 members. You know, there's just a lot of us everywhere. So if nothing else, we've got our finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Now, let me ask you this. The advantage to doing business with somebody who literally has that National Association of Realtors stamp on their company, on their brokerage mm-hmm. firm, what is the advantage to going with them? And let's say that I have somebody that approaches me and I ask them, I say, are you a member of the National Association of Realtors? If they tell me no, why is it a good idea for me to find somebody with the NAR?
Well, NAR is a self-policing organization, and we actually have our own code of ethics, which we've had for 100 years. And we adhere to that code of ethics, and we have mediation and professional standards and grievance filings and all of that on behalf of consumers. Those that aren't a member don't have to adhere to that. They simply answer to the Real Estate Commission in their respective states, and every state's got one. We have to adhere to that as well. But at the same time, we have our own code of ethics, which we are adhering to. On the other hand, I think it should be noted that realtors, by virtue of their membership, are actually consumers' friends because they're looking out for the best interests of property rights. And those others are just after the almighty dollar in many cases. So the cost of membership is very, very nominal. The cost of membership in the national is $120 a year. So to be a member of this organization, it's next to nothing. But the political weight that carries on behalf of our industry, but also property owners everywhere, is just unbelievable. It's priceless.
Now, you just had your national convention in New Orleans.
We did. We now, did. It was a great meeting.
How many people showed up for that?
We had about 20,000, you know, I'm not quite sure. We have some people that come in just for a single day just to do the trade show, but we had close to 20,000 full registrations. And, you know, we do the same thing. We alternate our national meetings from East Coast, West Coast. So next year our meeting is in San Diego. And we've got obviously a ton of our realtor members in California and Nevada and all the states out west, Washington, Oregon, all that. So We get a little bit bigger audiences from each side, but it's a great time to get together, network, go over all our governance and all that. One of the biggest issues that just happened is the acquisition of Move. Move is our Realtor.com website, and it was just purchased by News Corp, which is the company run by Rupert Murdoch. And this is going to be a game changer. We've got a couple of competitors out there that are aggregating data, but we find, and it's pretty obvious, that their data is so absolutely inaccurate. And ours is refreshed every 15 minutes. So there's a huge difference in the way that's run. But anyway, News Corp, that's a very welcome thing, and a lot of attention was played on that during this meeting.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you know, as you know, you guys have been one of our sponsors, my major sponsor for, it's got to be 3 years now. And we really appreciate you having you guys as a sponsor. Speaking of which, we're getting ready to do this. I know you know this one by heart too, Billy. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on, buddy. I really appreciate it. Hey, and listen, keep up the good work with, you know, protecting homeowners' rights, because that's the most important thing. There's people out there like me that don't have a clue, even though I am a realtor.
And I appreciate that. And thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Can't wait to see you soon, buddy. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with all of my NFL picks. See you in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're going to go over the rest of the games quickly because we're running out of time. You know what? When 2 hours isn't long enough and you're having too good of a time, I'd hate to have to find enough sponsors to do me a three-hour show, but one day we may get there. Let's go over. Give me that funny sound.
Oh, you got to wait till I do that. And then. Blah, blah, blah.
I haven't even done my homie yet. Redskins are at the 49ers. Joke. Niners are -9. I don't care what you say, Matt. Please don't try to be a handicapper.
Dude, no. I called it last week. It's on tape.
Yeah, you,
I called it.
Yeah, you played against the Redskins. Don't play with the Redskins under the same premise.
I'm telling
that
you,
would
they're
be
play
stupid.
Hard.
Yeah, they'll play hard for a quarter and a half,
they'll
and then
it'll be
20-3 at halftime. It'll be 41-10 at the end of the game.
While everybody else was calling Redskins.
Take San Francisco minus the 9 here for 4 stars. Not 5, but 4 right under it. Go ahead.
All right.
That was easy. And the reason I'm doing that is obvious. San Francisco has to win this game. That the West is tight as it can possibly be. The Redskins, their season's over. Now, supposedly Robert Griffin had a great game, a great practice week. That's funny. I don't care how great his practice week is. When he gets out on the field at 4:15, 4:20 today in Eastern time in San Francisco, those guys don't care what kind of practices he had. They're going to kick his butt, and Alden Smith is back. He's going to be introducing himself to Robert several times today. Okay, take San Francisco minus the points. You know, if there's a hedge here, it's in the over. You know, because if Washington's going to stay close, trust me, they need to score about 28 points. I don't see that happening. Next game, Matt. This is the game, Cowboys and the Giants. We talked about this game.
Got that one.
Oh, you know what?
We
did.
Cowboys.
Yeah, we did. You know what we did? We skipped the Redskins. That's what we did. The Ravens are at the Saints. Dude, look, we're going to go ahead and give them Monday night. I'm not playing the Bills game. There's just too many things we don't know about. Are the referees going to give the Bills a break? You know, because, you know, they've had a rough week. They didn't even get to practice till yesterday, okay? Actually, they practiced on Friday when they got in. But they haven't had they've basically been taking mental reps all week. Mental reps don't help if you're sore and you're used to going to the complex and getting a massage and getting heat and getting getting all the stuff that you get to make you feel better so you can go out on Sunday and play and not hurt as bad. It's a very physical game. You got to think the Jets have the edge here. This probably will be a good game for my boy Rex to steal. If you're going to play this game, play the Jets. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not playing. Ravens are at the Saints Monday night. The Ravens won a Super Bowl here. The Ravens have a great – I think the Ravens are 3-1 there. I mean, the Ravens seem to play on the road just as well as they do at home, and it's indoors, and they have a better team right now than the New Orleans Saints do. The Saints have lost two home games after winning 20 in a row or 28 in a row for Sean Payton while he was a head coach. Take the Ravens Monday night. So if you're down, you know, a little bit with your next door neighbor, get it all back on Monday night. Take the Ravens. I love that game. I mean, I'm playing that game for 4 stars. All right, let's go over the, I'm going to go over my picks real quick. The Buccaneers are at the Bears. Oh God, these two teams suck. But it, what it basically is it's a game between last year's starter for the Bears and Jay Cutler, who God knows what's going on with Jay Cutler. I like the over here, remember? 46 points, take the over for 5 stars. The Browns are at the Falcons. You know what? I like the Falcons here because I like Mike Smith. They're going to try to save his job. The players love the guy. You got to take him. You know, take the Falcons. And if you're going to take the Falcons, you better take the over two to cover. The next game's Titans-Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles minus the 11 for 4 stars. Titans are terrible. The Eagles need to win bad to keep up with the Cowboys, who should win in the Meadowlands today. The Lions are at the Patriots, biggest game of the day. This is my play of the year. I'm taking the Patriots minus 7 for the house. But don't do that, please. The Packers are at the Vikings. You know, it's hard not to take the Packers when they've scored over 100 points in 2 games, over 50 in each game. But I'm not taking this game. It's too many points. Packers minus 9. It's outdoors. The weather's bad. You know, and you know, the only thing you got going for you with Teddy Bridgewater, who's from Louisville, is, you know, this is a kid that can play a little bit. They have a decent running game. They have a decent defense, and they're playing better every game. I could see the Packers letting up here, so I'm going to stay off the game. Jaguars are at the Colts. I'm taking the Colts for 3 stars, a regular play, because it's 14 points, 13 and a half points. Indy's going to win. It's just by how much, I'm not sure. Bengals are at the Texans. I'm passing on the game completely. Cardinals are at the Seahawks. This is going to be one of the most fun games to watch. In reality, this game should be a 3-point game, maybe a 2.5-point game. It's a 7-point game. So if you're an intelligent handicapper, you take Arizona here. I'm passing on the game because I like Seattle here, but that's too many points. I'm taking the over for sure. The over in this game is what I'm taking. And the over in this game isn't much. It's only 41 points. And that's nothing. But Arizona doesn't give up much. The Bengals are at the Texans. I'm passing on that game. I hate both teams. I already said that. Rams are at the Chargers. I'm taking the Rams, the hottest team right now, with maybe one of the best defenses, except for the Arizona Cardinals and Detroit Lions in the league. I'm taking the Rams, getting all them points, 5.5, 6, 6.5 points. Take the Rams in San Diego for 4 stars. Dolphins are at the Broncos. I'm passing because I think Peyton's hurt, and I think the Dolphins are too tough to give 7 points to, but who wants to go against the Broncos minus 7? Pass. Pass is a smart play, in my opinion. Redskins at the Niners. If you like Matt, take the Redskins. If you like me, take the Niners. I love the Niners
here. I'm adorable,
so you know why I love the Niners here? The Niners haven't played well all year, yet they're still in it. You know what I mean? Colin Kaepernick hasn't looked that good, yet they're still in it. And you know what the Redskins don't do? They don't pressure the quarterback. The only way that you give Kaepernick a hard time is
unless you're the Cowboys.
You're on, you know, you need a drug test so bad. The Cowboys are at the Giants. Speaking of drugs, the Cowboys are at the Giants. It's in the Meadowlands. We've already established that's not enough points for the Giants. You could pass on this game, but if you got to play it, 3 stars Cowboys. 3 stars Cowboys. I like this game a little bit, but not much. Because the Cowboys are healthy. They're healthier than the Giants. They're better than the Giants. And darn it, I like you.
People like me.
people like me. let's go to the next game. Jets-Bills. We're passing on it. I already said take Rex if you have to pick a team, but I don't like the game. And the Ravens are at the Saints. You know, don't play the game today, but if you had a good weekend, take the Ravens tomorrow. I think they're going to cover.
All right, Turkey Day. Do you have any predictions for Turkey Day?
Well, let's talk about...
Do they have any of the numbers yet? I know that's technically next week, but so...
No, as a matter of fact, what you're going to probably have to do on Turkey Day with me is you're probably going to need to give me a... Go to my website, brucehallsports.com. I will give Matt my picks on Wednesday morning, not Wednesday night. Wednesday morning, I'll give Matt my picks. He'll throw them up on the website. You can call me direct to my cell phone. I swear to God, I'll answer the phone, 703-615-4396. Listen, all my players call me, 703-615-4396. That's 703-615-4396. Give me a call Wednesday morning to Wednesday afternoon, and I'll let you know what I'm doing on Thursday. Now, the only thing that might keep me from releasing my picks would be an injury or something that we're not sure about. Mm. What I'll do is I'll leave a message either on my cell phone or I'll pick it up and tell you if so-and-so starts, play this. If so-and-so doesn't start, don't play it. And that's kind of the way it works. It may end up coming down to that. Do you even know who's playing on Thanksgiving?
Well, I know Green Bay and Detroit.
Well, I got to tell you, after Detroit gets whacked today, they've got a short week, and then they got to, you know, this is another reason you don't take Green Bay today, people. You know why? They're not looking at Minnesota. They're looking at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, no, they don't play Detroit.
No. Doesn't Green Bay play at Detroit?
Let's see.
Do you have NFL.com,
anybody? I'm up. All right, so it's Bears-Lions, Eagles-Cowboys. Oh, Seahawks-49ers. I thought Green Bay always played.
Well, who's playing? Tell me.
All right, Bears-Lions, Seahawks-49ers, Eagles-Cowboys.
You got to take the Lions, and who's the next game?
Eagles-Cowboys.
I'm going to pass on that till I see more. You got to see the numbers. You know what I'll do? You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all the numbers tomorrow morning on everybody except the Ravens aren't in anything either.
No, it'll be neither Seahawks 49ers. Okay. Is the night game.
That's going to be a great game. All right. Did you just flip me off? Oh, that's
other finger.
Oh, it's the index finger you just gave me?
Seahawks 49ers. That'll be a good
By
Thursday.
The way, do you know what I'm doing right now, people? I am playing my games in the National Handicappers Bowl as we speak. And that's NHBowl, BOWL.com, NHBOWL.com. And guess what? Bruce Hall is right at about 54%, finally going the right direction. I'm heading for 60. If I get to 60, I am what we call regal in the business. I am kind of kingly. If you're anything 60 or above, by the way, I'm going to have my boy John Kincaid on next week. John Kincaid is having a freaky great year, and he's not even a handicapper. He's just a great talk show host out of Atlanta. We will see you next week, people. Love you. Have a safe day. And if you're in Buffalo, be careful on your roof.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We will see you.